Hi, and welcome to Webcams TV. I'm your host, Corey Fowler, and joining me to my left here is air traffic controller Brady Gaster. He's taking on a new role, and he's going to be coming to us live from the SeaTac airport every day, keeping us well informed of the clouds that are traveling overhead. Hey, Brady.
What?
How's the new job going?
What? Oh. Sorry. It's going pretty good.
Yeah?
It's going pretty good. Yeah.
Yeah. No, we're joking. We're not actually. Brady isn't going to be out at SeaTac Airport. He's very much the same guy, bringing you the same cool content that he has been in the past. But we do want to welcome you to the new year, and a new year of Webcams TV. Mm-hmm. So happy new year.
Happy new year. And so, there's actually a reason why I had the headset on.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah. We should probably get to that, eh?
Probably get to that.
Cool. So today's guest is going to be remote, and we're going to be talking to Jacques Eloff.
Jacques Eloff is one of the developers on the ASP.NET team, and Jacques is partially responsible. I don't think anybody's solely responsible for anything here, but except for Corey, who's responsible for everything PHP in the cloud. So you can blame him for everything. Jacques is one of the developers who is working on improving the ASP.NET MVC project templates that you see in Visual Studio. So if you've ever wanted to customize those, he might have some tips for us on how to do that today. He also will probably have some insight into some of the new templates that we've got. Without further ado, I want to go ahead and put back on my headset here. And we're going to give Jacques a call and chat with him over link today. So just give me 1 second and I'll get him on the horn here.
And now let's go on location.
Well, thanks for being able to tune in with us today, Jacques. I appreciate you taking the time out of your busy development schedule. Looks like you're in a pretty cool office. I see some exposed brick back there behind you. Hopefully you won't be bothering any of your cube mates around talking to Corey and I today. Without further ado, why don't you tell our web developer audience all the goodness that you and your team have put into the new MVC templates?
The new refresh that we're working on is mainly focused on the tooling side. Mm-hmm. So pretty much just new templates, new packages as well on some of the templates. Two great new templates that we've added is the single page application and the Facebook template that some of our other teammates have worked on. There's some tutorials on the ASP.NET website as well. If you go to ASP.NET/vnext, you can work through those tutorials and see all the details about those.
Okay. Does the tutorial, the link that you sent over, does that tutorial kind of cover the idea of customizing those V6 templates so that people can do whatever they want to? And what sort of scenarios have you guys envisioned or been asked of developers that they need functionality to be able to do? Like, what sort of customizations do you expect?
So we originally experimented with the customization back in MVC 3, but we didn't develop it quite fully, and I don't think developers really ever adopted it that much because it required you to have things like write values to the registry to add new custom templates to our own wizard and things like that. So we've taken a new approach. Using the existing functionality in Visual Studio, whereby you can write a normal Visual Studio extension as you would for adding templates to the standard wizards in VS, except with a few minor tweaks. Instead of showing up in the standard wizard, the project templates will show up in the MVC project template wizard.
Nice.
So we typically would go file new project and then select MVC, and you'd see empty and internet application. You would now be able to see your project template there as well.
Awesome. So they won't actually see it when they do file a new project. They'll see it after they select MVC application in the secondary dialog that pops up where you see Facebook, Spa, Web API, and all that good stuff. That's where like Brady's custom template might show up.
Yeah, and because it's a Visual Studio extension, you could publish it on the Visual Studio Gallery, and other developers can then just download and install the extension. And that's a very neat way of sharing the template with your fellow developers.
Nice.
Getting more exposure. The other great thing is that because it's just templates, you can even use it in the Express queue of VS.
Cool.
So, because typically extensions are blocked from adding functionality to the Express queues. templates are the exception. So users can make use of it in Web Express as well.
Nice. So I could download Web Express, which is a free product, and I could do my own MVC development and add to that capability by creating my own custom templates. If I wanted to use Twitter Bootstrap or something like that, I could build my own.
Create, not necessarily.
Okay.
Because you need to start off with the Visual Studio Extensibility project.
Gotcha.
But you can definitely install the physics.
Okay, cool.
And that's the thing that's normally prohibited for a physics is if you write your own one, unless it's signed with the special Microsoft keys and things like that, it cannot install into Express. But for the templates, it can.
Nice. Have you had any requests from developers, or have you started to see anything popping up in the community? Has anybody built any custom templates yet that you think are pretty notable?
I haven't heard about anything, but I'm sure we'll start seeing things probably after RTM and stuff.
Okay.
Hopefully it will start picking up the pace. The other opportunity for us as a team as well is that if we want to introduce new project templates, it's very quick for us now to roll them out and get the community involvement potentially with that, get feedback quickly.
Nice.
And share that. So.
Okay. That's cool. So folks no longer have to wait for Microsoft to put something out. They can retrofit their own templates, if you will, into Studio, give their own functionality, and then distribute those on the extension site so that the community can make use of them. So pretty much given full-on extensibility to Visual Studio templates for MVC developers.
Yes. I think it ties in pretty well with the runtime having gone open source. This is another way for the community to contribute, cool. I think, to the ecosystem that we have.
Nice. That's fantastic. Well, do you have any requests for our developer community? Do you have any templates that you'd like to see anybody build out there? Any big ticket items that would get the Jacques stamp of approval?
Play around with it and tell us what you need. I think that's the big thing is we come up with these ideas, we put it in, but until you start actually getting a larger community playing around with it and seeing where the shortcomings are, what could be improved. Mm-hmm. That's what we really need is the feedback.
Nice. My last question for you, I don't want to spend a lot of your time. I know you're really, really busy. I think you had a release today, so I don't want to bug you too bad. Let's say I wanted to get started and build my own template. What's the learning curve like? How long would it take a decent developer to kind of write their own template? Is it complicated?
I don't think the learning curve is that steep. If you know a little bit about Visual Studio extensibility, that's just setting up the physics project and things like that, and you understand a little bit of the template authoring mechanism, mm-hmm. that should probably be enough. And the best way to start is to take something like our basic or our empty template and take the content from that and develop that as your template for your extension. Try adding a new file. Maybe change something like the home controller or the about page, mm-hmm. And then just follow the steps on the tutorial. It's as far as I can tell, it should be sufficient to allow you, from starting with the physics project to actually installing the extension and creating the project template.
Nice.
It covers all of those steps, so it's not too steep.
Cool. I looked through the URL that you sent over, and it didn't look like it was very complicated, so probably even an evangelist could do it, so I'll probably try my hand at building one in the next couple of days, just for something that like I might roll in Bootstrap or build one not Knockout, the other MVVM framework. Backbone?
Backbone.
Yeah, just for the heck of it. Just had a couple of ideas. Was chatting with Corey earlier when we were talking about the templates and what's possible with them. So I think he has some ideas too. Corey usually has ideas. So.
Okay. Awesome. Well, let me know.
Well, thanks a lot for your time. Are you on Twitter, just so the community can get in touch with you if you have any questions?
No, I actually have a very, very low online profile.
Nice. We'll have to get you on Twitter so you can start answering some questions to the community.
But I do check the forums and stuff occasionally. So
cool. Well, we'll watch for you on the forums, maybe on Stack Overflow or something along those lines. Cool.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, stay warm.
I will.
It's kind of cold up there.
Yeah, it's
I think you're in Vancouver, right?
Yeah, I'm in Vancouver. Yeah.
Awesome, awesome. A couple hours to the north. Awesome. Well, it was nice talking to you again. Thanks a lot for the time.
You're welcome.
I hope that the release cycle goes well. And if I get any questions from the community about how to customize the templates, I'll make sure that I get them in touch with you over email.
Yeah. Thank you very much.
Cool. Thanks a lot, man.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Cool. All right. Thanks a lot for that, Jacques. At this time, Jacques sent over a URL, and I've got that up on my computer right here, and I think Corey's going to have that up on his as well. And this article kind of walks through the process of customizing your MVC templates, or talks about how it used to be prior to these improvements, and also what you can do now to actually customize your own MVC templates. As Jacques pointed out, one of the things that we've provided you the ability to do now is to actually customize the different project templates for MVC. So if you have a new project template that you want to add in, let's say you want to use Elasticsearch or something like that, you can actually build that directly into your own V6, and you can put it in the extensions gallery, and developers like Corey and I can grab it and party on it. So here's the URL. Corey has it up on his screen here. You can take a look at that.
Yeah, and, I made a short URL for it. So okay. You can go to aka.ms. /fall-mvc, all in uppercase, and that will take you right off to it.
Awesome. Yeah. Awesome. One thing that I haven't pointed out yet is that you appear to be a little dressed up for the show today. Corey, you want to tell everybody about your attire?
Yeah, well, actually, moving to Seattle and making a really big life change, it's nice to have a little bit of comfort, and this is basically what I used to wear a long time ago, so I'm getting a little bit back to the roots, but
nice.
trying to punk it up a little bit and make sure that I'm, you know, very visible here at Microsoft.
Yeah. That he's representing his punk roots,
yeah.
Basically, is that what you're saying? Is that a clip-on?
It is not a clip-on. It's actually a full-fledged tie.
Good stuff. Do you have a bow tie to put on as well?
I do have a bow tie, but, yeah, it's not as cool as this one, I'd have to say.
Bow ties are pretty cool.
They are cool, but it's very plain black bow tie. Yeah. But, yeah.
Well, I've seen you eat. It's good that you have that. You
can just wipe up afterwards.
Cool.
No.
Cool. Awesome.
I'm not that bad. Come on now.
Yeah, he is. So I think you have a demo for us. I think you're going to talk about something as well.
Yeah. It was great hearing from a fellow Canadian. We don't have enough Canadians on the show. We need to do more of that. Well, there's always one on the show, I guess.
That's true. We always have one, but we could do more. You're right.
Yeah, I'm not Highlander. Like, there's the ability to have more than one Canadian on
Highlander.
The show.
That's
yeah.
funny. Okay.
Yeah. But yeah, the thing I wanted to talk about today was some of the improvements that came across in the new CLI tools.
Mm-hmm.
And it's something we want to point out because, you know, we've had this on the show before, but things have changed a little bit. And the first thing that's really changed is the CLI tools used to be packaged up with the Node SDK.
Mm-hmm.
And that's actually not the case anymore. The team has decided for a number of different reasons. I think one of them is because of the mobile services team, they wanted to be able to pull in the pieces independently. Like, they just need the Node SDK, but they don't necessarily need the CLI tools.
Okay.
So just to make it a really quick experience for people out there using mobile services, we've separated those pieces.
Gotcha.
So now when you want to go out and install the Node tools, you obviously need to have Node installed, but then you just say npm install azure-cli -g. And basically what this does is just goes out and gets those specific CLI pieces that you need.
Cool.
So I've already done that on my machine, but you basically go through the same work from there. You have to use Azure, which gets you the full listing of all the things that are running.
Mm-hmm.
You would need to set up your account, so you just Azure account download, that gets you the publish settings file. You import that publish settings file, and then you're basically good to go.
Gotcha.
So some of the new features that you'll notice here is we actually have support for mobile services directly out of the command line tools now,
mm-hmm.
which is really quite cool. But there's also some new stuff to the website, commands as well. So let's just take a quick look at that. So if we say Azure Site-H, you taught us the first time around that -H brings up the help menu,
mm-hmm.
but we had a number of different features that were available here. And one of the ones that you'll notice here right up the top is this new site deployment script command line feature.
Okay.
So what this does is, hopefully everyone's familiar with Project Kudu, Kudu is the deployment engine that runs within Windows Azure websites. So anytime you do a Git deployment, or really any deployment for that matter, it goes through, or with the exception of FTP, it goes through Kudu and runs through a set of scripts that are predefined by the website's team. But this allows you to take control over that. So if we say Azure site deployment script, we'll just do a dash H on that. We'll see here that we have the ability to create one that's for an ASP.NET web application, Node.js site, an ASP website. So if you're using the old, or not necessarily old, but if you're using just the ASP website, you can use that. There's also a PHP version, which is the part that I quite enjoy, but then Python as well. So if we say Azure site deployment script dash dash PHP, we can basically just hit that. And now we've gone and we've created a new .deployment and deploy.cmd file.
Gotcha.
So the deploy.cmd file, and we'll just open that quickly, deploy.cmd. This basically runs through each of the different processes that we're going to take as we go through the deployment. So there's a number of things that have gone and been pre-set up for this. We can basically just add to this.
Mm-hmm.
Or we can say, well, I don't really need that. I'm just going to do my thing from scratch.
Gotcha.
So to show you how it works and what you can actually see in the portal, I'm just going to do a quick echo to say hello world, and we'll just run this briefly through a deployment. The other file, just before I go ahead, is a .deployment file. And this is the kind of, this is the service hook that basically says, hey Kudu, I have specific deployment requirements. If you see this file, make sure that you run whatever the configured command is. So you can see here that our command is deploy.cmd, and it's just going to go look for that deploy.cmd file and run that instead of the default deployment template.
Gotcha. So whenever I check in code through Git or whatever the case may be, Kudu will actually run the functionality in that deployment script, and I can go and customize that. So let's say I wanted to do something like, oh, I don't know, run unit tests, you know, with XUnit or NUnit or MS test. I could actually run my own unit tests.
Yeah, and Glenn Block actually created a really great article to show off how you can run your Node.js unit tests during a deployment. And the cool thing about the deployment within Kudu is you're not just deploying it and it's updating the site automatically.
Mm-hmm.
It makes sure that it can make it through all of the different deployment steps before it updates your site.
Gotcha.
And obviously you can change that because once you take control over this deployment script, it's completely your deployment. So you can change the order of things or whatnot. But the nice thing about having that deployment or the copy over to your actual web directory, like your www root,
mm-hmm.
At the end of that step is if anything along the lines fails, your website doesn't get updated.
Gotcha.
So it's a great place to run unit tests because, you know, it brings in that continuous integration on top of the continuous deployment functionality that we have here,
nice.
Where it will run your unit tests, ensure that things run properly
cool.
before it actually deploys at your site.
Awesome. Yeah. Sounds good.
So now that I have my deployment script here, I don't really have any web files, but I just wanted to quickly just say Azure site create, and we'll just create a brand new website. So we'll say new CLI func. And basically this is the same process as it was before.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to look at my my configured subscriptions that I have within here. One thing that you will notice on top of it is if I don't specify things, it is going to prompt me now.
Gotcha.
So before they were going, the team was kind of going for a very unintrusive kind of design.
Mm-hmm.
But now they've gone to the, you know, if you don't provide the specific command line argument, we're going to prompt you for it.
Okay.
But if you do want to do scripting of your environments, you can pass all of those required command line switches across and basically allows you to do like a double click execution to set up your website.
Nice.
Yeah. So maybe we'll have to do a show on that sometime soon.
If funny you should say that. Glenn Block actually hit us up, and he said he wants to be back on the show. So cool. I think he wants to kind of go deeper into some of this stuff.
Excellent.
I'm going to chat with him after the show. I'll let him know that you've already stolen his thunder, so you can probably expect a call from him later.
Yeah, he's not going to be too happy about that. Oh, well. No, I don't know. They're doing a lot of great work, and I just want to, mm-hmm. you know, I just want to make sure that people know about it. So basically, I just added those files that have been created here. I'm just going to do a quick commit. Oh, that's not going to work out well. Git push Azure Master, and that's going to fire it right off to my site. So what we'll be able to see here, once this gets updated, is I'm not going to have anything in my web root because I don't have any files to copy over, mm-hmm. and I've completely cleared out that deployment CMD file. So what we should see is, if we say Azure Site Browse, we should get the default screen that comes up, mm-hmm. right? But if we actually go and log into the portal,
you'll be able to go and look at your deployment tab.
You'll be able to, you know, kind of go in here. We're going to choose our website, and I called it New CLI Funk. You can go into the deployment tab here, and we'll see that there's been one Git deployment. But you go over here, and a lot of people, I guess, don't notice this. But if you hover over, it changes the color, and you can see this little arrow. And basically, that brings up the deployment record. So if you're deploying from GitHub, Bitbucket, you can see the whole process that comes along. But if you go in here and say View Log, you can actually see that, you know, here's the commands that have been executed. And you can see that my echo came through to say hello world.
Nice.
Yeah.
Pretty cool.
So this is just basically going to go out and run anything that you put into that script. A couple of, not really caveats, but things to be aware of is, you can't install anything during this, obviously, right? Because
right.
The environment's relatively controlled, so you want to be a little bit mindful of that. If you're looking to run PowerShell, I haven't been able to do that quite yet.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, anything that you need to do in terms of deployment is a great way to go and kind of bootstrap your site from
cool.
here.
Cool. Yeah. One of the samples that I saw on the Kudu page on GitHub, which I actually haven't pulled up in a while here, but one of the samples that I've seen is actually how to use NuGet to pull down XUnit to run XUnit tests. I think Dave Ebo wrote that.
Yep.
There's a couple of neat samples out there on how to use Kudu to do some of these deeper deployment customizations. Corey's just pulled up the Kudu GitHub website, so you can take a look at that, and there's some samples out there to kind of walk you through customizing your deployment. It's a pretty deep project, so you can kind of get dangerous with it. So,
yeah, so. If you want to go and learn more about it, if you go off to the GitHub site, which is github.com /projectkudu/kudu,
mm-hmm.
If you go to the wiki, they actually have some pretty in-depth documentation here. So if you can't find things on the home page, but they're pretty good about calling things out, don't forget there's that pages tab there, and that just gives you a full listing of all of the different pages that are sitting within that wiki.
Awesome.
So you can find out a lot of information just from here. I did my initial deep dive into Kudu just using this wiki, and then, you know, any questions I had, I ran over to the team and said, hey, so what about this?
Nice. Awesome. That's good stuff. Actually, over the holiday, I played around a little bit with some of the new improvements that have been made to the PowerShell commandlets.
Mm-hmm.
There's some website stuff that's been added into there. You can either use the CLI tools or you can use PowerShell commandlets to do websites now. You don't have to stick to one or the other. You can go back and forth all day long if you want to. And speaking of websites, there have recently been a couple of improvements that you probably read about on Scott Goo's blog, which I have pulled up right here right now. Just to point out a couple of things. Before, you could only scale your site up to 3 shared instances. So if you had a site that was going to get pounded by traffic, you could set your site up and then you could deploy that out to 3 shared instances or 3 reserved instances or 3 free instances.
Okay.
That's recently been increased. As of 12/21, Scott Goo announced on his weblog that now you can do 6 shared instances. So if you have a site that's really going to get hit hard, or you have a sale coming up and you know you're going to need to scale it out, you can actually scale out to 6 shared instances. At the same time, before, I think the limit on reserved instances, I believe it was 3. I think now that's actually been increased to 10. Is that right?
Yep.
Actually looking through his blog here, it's actually been scaled up to 10. So you could go 1 to 10 reserved instances. I think that's pretty nice, because now we're showing that you can actually scale websites much the same way you can scale cloud services, as much as you need to, not just up to 3. So that's good stuff. And then a bunch of other improvements. If you go out to Scott Goo's web blog, which I think Corey has pulled up right here, you can see some of the other improvements that have been made. And we're making more all the time, so just keep watching the show, keep tuning in. I have a lot of good stuff coming up with the website soon. The last thing I want to talk about is John Galloway has recently put together a series of webcams. If you go to devcamps.ms, that site has information about all the different camps. On that site, you'll see a couple of different ones. You'll see Azure camps, web camps, office camps, phone camps, every kind of camp you can think of. If you're a developer, these are really great opportunities for you to go and interact directly with either evangelists like ourselves or with engineers, or both, depending on who happens to be there. I just went up to one in Vancouver just before the holiday. I think John did one. I think John went to the Far East at some point and did one. I know that Haishi and Wen Ming recently did a pair in China.
Yep.
Mads Christensen and our good buddy Nathan Totten, they just went over to Denmark and did a few as well. And in a couple of weeks, I'm going to be leaving and doing 2 in India. So I'll be going to India the end of January to do a couple of webcams over there. So if you're in India, please feel free to stop by. If you go to devcamps.ms, you can find out more about those webcams. But I don't really have anything else at this point. How was your holiday? Did you enjoy yourself at all? I heard your mom and dad were in town.
Yeah, the parents came down to visit. Didn't really do too much. No, we went out and kind of toured around Seattle for a bit and then just laid low for the holiday. What about yourself?
Pretty much the same thing. Went to North Carolina, hung out with the family. Got the accent back a little bit. Had some good southern food, so that was nice. Visited all the restaurants that we miss that we don't have out here in the Redmond area. Took it easy, got some presents, that kind of thing. It was a really nice break. It was a good time. I did a little bit of Windows 8 development over the holiday to do something different and kind of get my hands dirty with Windows 8 development. It's been kind of fun. Just kind of cruising.
Cool.
So,
yeah, are we going to do a little put a plug for your Windows 8 app?
I mean, if you want to plug my Windows 8 app, I'm not going to tell you not to. I can tell you the story about the app.
Yeah,
I was actually chatting with a buddy of mine who has a Surface, and he said, you know, I travel a lot with my Surface, and I have this innate ability to leave it in a restaurant or leave it somewhere, and I wanted to know if there's any way that I can find that, kind of like I can with my Windows phone. You can go to windowsphone.com, you can find out exactly where your phone is. But I don't have anything that I can do that with my laptop or with my Surface. So, you know, do you know about any apps that are coming for that? So actually, I don't, but that's a great idea for me to learn how to do it. So I came up with this app called Where's My 8? Where's My 8? I think Corey has it up on the screen now. It's a pretty simple app. You just start it up. The first time you start it up, there'll be a wizard. It'll ask you, hey, can I track your location? You say yes. It says, can I run background tasks? You say yes. Then it asks you to log into your Microsoft account. And when you do that, it'll basically just run in the background, and it actually communicates with a Windows Azure website through an ASP.NET web API. There's an endpoint that's been exposed in my Windows Azure website out there. It's wheresmy8.com, and this application will basically send up your location every 15 minutes or so, or whenever you log on to a new network, or log into your computer, or log out of your computer. That way, if you misplace your Surface, you don't have to freak out anymore. You can just go to wheresmy8.com, and if you've installed the app, you can see exactly where your application is, or excuse me, where your Surface is, or where your laptop is. Corey and I travel a lot, so it's kind of handy to know where our stuff is. Right now, he's on the website. He's going to click on Map, and I'm using Bing Maps here, and that'll basically pull up his location if he clicks on the Allow button, tracking him. And you'll see there's where his laptop is right now. He just installed the app, fired it up. It communicated back to a web API running in Windows Azure websites, and the information got stored in SQL Server using Entity Framework spatial stuff. So at this point, now I'm tracking him. I always know where he is. It's It's probably not a good thing.
That's scary. I'm going to have to go and remove,
remove the access. Exactly. So the app is free. A couple of users so far. If you're interested in taking a peek at it, feel free. If you have any feature ideas, feel free to hit me up. Again, it is a free app, so just grab it and let me know what you think. If you have any other ideas for it, let me know. I'd love to add some features into it. And I'm looking forward to that day that I'll get to slide my slider out because I have so many users I need to go out to multiple instances. Yeah. That'd be pretty cool.
I can just picture it right now. You're going to be on the phone with me saying, hey, Corey, where are you? We're recording Webcams TV. Get over here.
Right.
And be like, oh, yeah, sorry, man. Yeah, no, I see you're still at home. What are you doing? You going to come down here at any point in time?
Exactly. He'll have to ride his bike over real quick in the snow. That'd be good.
Hey, it's downhill most of the way. I can do a lot of it.
That'd be good. You can just cruise really, really fast.
Yeah.
That'd be good. Awesome. Well, thanks a lot for tuning in today. I hope you guys have enjoyed the first webcams of 2013. I have to get into the habit of saying the new year now. Almost said 2012 again. I think I've signed a couple of forms incorrectly already.
That's all good.
But I have nothing else to add. Corey, you want to add anything?
No, just thanks so much for joining us here on Webcams TV.
Thanks a lot. Take care.